There you go. Okay.
It's getting in the way. Okay. All right. So we come to life of John. As we were worshiping, I just feel such mercy of God for all of us. Yeah. Mm-hmm. God has great mercy. God has such wonderful mercy. Mm-hmm. And it was God's mercy that God sent John ahead of Jesus to prepare people's heart. It's a mercy when God challenges our heart to repent. It's God's great mercy to receive more of it when God confronts us with His righteousness and bring repentance, change of heart, bring our hearts soft before Him. It is God's mercy. Because apart from Holy Spirit, no one can soften our hearts. And Israel had gone through a very, very tough time, tough 500 years. They lost their land, they had foreign king, their hopes were dashed, life is tough, God's promise is so far, and they've just come back to the land, but it's not their own land because they were occupied by Romans. And at the right time, God sends a voice to prepare the hearts of Israel to receive Savior Jesus. So it is that God prepares our heart before major moving of God in your life, major showing of mercy, touch you, heal you, change you, give you breakthrough. Often, God sends a voice to convict you, to humble you, to prepare your heart, to soften your heart to receive Him. So was the voice of John. Last month, we looked at Luke chapter 2. And then since boyhood of Jesus, now chapter closes and chapter 3 opens, 18 years have passed. 18 years between chapter 2 and chapter 3 of Luke. Curtain opens up again and we don't see Jesus. We see John the Baptist on the scene preaching. John's ministry would have been dismissed if he were appearing and then preaching in the churches today because of his unusual appearance. His hair, his dress, I'm dressed today extra nice because I'm not John. I've got hair, and so on. However, John had an unusual appearance and unusual diet. You don't want to eat with John. Honey and locust. You lose all your appetite, right? But when this man appeared in history, unpolished with religion, raw desert man, this man brought entire nation of Israel on her knees by his preaching, something that was never done before and something that was never done since. God sent Jonah to Nineveh and they repented. Israel had never repented like the days of John, just before the coming of Jesus. What is surprising, what is so special about John's ministry? Surprisingly, John did no miracle. No signs and wonders, no healing, no prophecy. Yet, his words penetrated deep into the hearts of people. People began to repent, and people began to flock to wilderness to hear John speak, because it was the voice of God coming down from heaven, going right through the heart of the people of Israel. When their hearts are sick, dark, when they feel there is no hope, when they feel God had abandoned them, or when they feel they failed permanently, when all the hope's gone, God sent a voice out of wilderness. As Jesus said, there was no man greater than John, born of a woman. This man was a voice of God. in the wilderness after 430 years of God being silent to his people. God didn't talk to his people for 400 over years. Can you imagine that? And when John's voice became heard, people flocked to it. Josephus, I think, records it's close to maybe 800,000 or million Jews came to wilderness to hear John preach in those days. That's like everybody, mom and dad, and grandpas and grandmas, everybody you can think of went, took a long journey to hear John preach. So now look at John in six different ways in this passage. It just describes John's ministry, and first one is his timing. Very interesting, first two verses frames ministry of John the Baptist in six different ways. Precise thinking of when John came into his ministry. Why? Well, first of all, in 14 AD, see, the Augustus emperor died. He was a good man and he brought peace to the whole Roman Empire. And then he brought tax system which brought Jesus, remember, to Bethlehem. So with his tax, with his schemes, empire experienced peace. But in 14 AD, Augustus died and Tiberius replaced Augustus, and he was a cruel man. Empire began to crumble. And when John was baptizing and preaching, Roman Empire was waning in power and it was on its way out. The peace they had known has now begun to break apart. And then there was also great political change in the Holy Land itself. See, when Jesus was born, Herod the Great was the king and the whole nation was united as one. But he died in 6 AD, and then Holy Land was split up into four sections under four of his sons. Herod Antipas, one of the worst of his sons, was in charge of Galilee region, and he was the foe of the gospel. He killed John the Baptist. He killed many Jews. Okay? And then, there was Philip, who took care of the northern eastern side. And he was probably one of the best of the four sons, offspring of Herod the Great and Cleopatra. And then he changed the name of the city, one of the city named Peneas, into Caesarea Philippi, into his own name. And his reign, the region experienced peace. See, what does the Caesarea Philippi mean? Philip is Caesar. I am the Caesar, the king. And Jesus brought his disciples and said, "Who do you say that I am?" "You, Jesus, are the Lord." Okay? So that was the region. Two other regions. In the south, Samaria and Judea was given to two other sons, but neither of them were good. It was running bad. So 26 AD, they were replaced by, everybody knows the name, Pontius Pilate. So that's why Pilate didn't want any trouble in his region. He handed Jesus over. So by the time Jesus came, Jews could literally say, "We have no king but Caesar." Tetrarch means quarter king, one-fourth king. Because there was no king, you only had one-fourth. And things were broken up. They had no king. And then there is another one, is that, you know, this political change also included high priest. Even though the word is high priest, the original word is high priest. And Annas is the high priest. And the law is high priest is you are the one for life. If you are high priest, you are there for life. And there's only one high priest. But Romans didn't like Annas because he was a man of principle. He couldn't control him. And they didn't even like his four sons. So eventually, they replaced him with Caiaphas. So Romans will talk to Caiaphas, but the Jews know that Caiaphas is not the high priest. So they get their cue from Annas. So he says, Annas and Caiaphas. So even the priesthood was split up. The decks were clear. There's no king, no leadership, no priest, no king. And then the voice comes out of the wilderness. Look, the king and the priest is coming. He's coming soon. And when he comes, he will clear the deck. And he will put the things in order. You need to get your heart ready now. That was John's message. See, before king came, now, even now, when there is an entourage, you know, there's all these big cars with, you know, police, and you clear away all the potholes, you know, you fill up the potholes so that the car drives clearly, you know, fast, in style. So it was when, before the king came to a town, he would send a herald and he would declare, "King is coming." And they will make sure the road is straight. And the road between Jerusalem to Jericho was really hilly, meandering, not very straight way. So John is saying now, we gotta clear our hearts because the king is coming to visit his people. So what was John's mission now? Verse 3 says, beginning, John began to preach in the desert, not in the church halls or even school halls. And in the beginning, maybe he preached to a wind. Maybe he preached to a few people. You know, in my first church planting, I preached to 3 people, including my wife. And I was preaching like as if there were 1,000. We still don't have 1,000 here. But he began to preach, and then people begin to gather. Something in his voice caught the attention. It penetrated. The words began to spread, and they begin to come from all over the place to hear his message. What was John's mission? What was John's message? He talked about sins of the people, specific sins that they need to deal with. See? He didn't begin with broken dreams. John didn't begin with blessings. John didn't talk about inner sorrows, inner healing, dashed hope, need for healing. He went straight to the matters of the heart. You want to receive the King in his fullness, you need to get your heart right. And you have to be concerned with specifics. You have to deal with the past sins so that it doesn't affect your future anymore. He preached repentance. He preached people to turn away, turn their hearts, change their thinking from the way they were thinking. He told them to turn to God. Not just shed tears, crocodile tears of regret and remorse, but he demanded changed thinking and changed behavior. Repentance. Repentance changes, starts in the heart, in the mind, in our thinking. Repentance is about humbling ourselves before God and acknowledging our wrongdoings. And then repentance means that we are serious, sorry enough to do something about it. That's repentance. Now, last week I talked about faith. Faith is credited to you as righteousness. But repentance leads you to true faith. Repentance clears out your heart to receive the Lord in his glory and fullness. And in fact, without repentance, you cannot get to true faith. And John began to preach repentance, and he began to practice baptism. Baptism was not practiced in the Old Testament, but it meant a seal of new beginning. He says, you have repented, you have come to a place, and I cannot go on like this anymore. I must do something. I must change my way. I must deal with my specific sins once for all so it doesn't affect my future. Once you say that, you get dunked into the water to mark a new beginning. So the true faith is sandwiched between repentance and baptism, water baptism. And I don't believe that Christians can truly begin your full-fledged faith of following Jesus until you get baptizing water. It's the very first act of obedience to the words and the commands of Christ. But John didn't baptize in Jerusalem. There's a beautiful pools in Jerusalem, clean waters. But he went to Jordan. Jordan is a muddy river. It's not clean. And it's at the lowest points. Why would he baptize people in Jordan? Do you remember Naaman? Mm-hmm. Says there are better waters out there. Why do you want me to dig in this muddy water? He was offended. He almost didn't go in because it's not a clean water. But John began to plunge people into Jordan River. If water is not clean and John demands baptism there, would you go there? Would you walk for 3 days to see John? And would you want to deal with sin once for all, forever, publicly, cleanly, definitely? Would you want to face it and deal with it so that you're free to begin new life in God? Would you? Because that's what John offered. You want to be baptized, this is the water. And you know, another reason I feel is that Jordan is where Israel is the first entry point to the promised land. When God took Israel out of Egypt, he took them through Jordan. It was the entry point. So saying, forget about all your past religion, all your knowledge, whatever you know, it doesn't matter. What you fail, it doesn't matter. Israel has lost their land. They have lost their inheritance. They're not where they should be. But it doesn't matter. We start all over again. Go right back to the beginning. Beginning. Cleanse yourself from sin. Be baptized. Deal with your sin. Confess it before God and start a new life, because when the king comes, see, I can only deal with the past sins. I can only prepare your heart. When he comes, he will baptize you with Holy Spirit and fire. He will prepare you for the future. He will give you power to face any impediment, any source of failure, pain. All of those things will be cleared out by the one who comes after me. The best I can do for you right now is to clear your heart. Make sure your heart is a straight road so the glory and the power and the presence of God can come right in. That was the message of John. So he was baptizing people. Hallelujah. This is precisely what baptism does. Forgiveness of sins. And for Christians, it means more. Maybe I'll talk about that next week more. But it means that you begin to identify with death of Jesus Christ and the resurrection of Jesus Christ. It is your own burial. It is the burial of your past sins, your past life, self-centered life, and everything, stain, shame, all of that you can bury out of your sight so you can live new life in Christ by the power of his resurrection. What was John's mandate? See, John's mandate didn't come from temple. It didn't come from authorities. It didn't come from anyone. It came from the prophetic word of God that had been proclaimed over him at his birth. In fact, there are three scriptures so central to John. Isaiah 40 is one of them. And Malachi chapter 3, Malachi 4, 5, and 6 anyway. I won't turn to that, but John knew who he was. John's message is a voice in the wilderness. As it is the voice, you come to church, I hope you hear the voice of God speaking to you. I hope God's voice makes you uncomfortable before he gives you true peace. Because voice of God rattles our comfort zone. Because he wants to get underneath the root of the problem and deal with what's causing, you know, lack of peace. Spiritual problem. John said, the axe is laid at the root of the trees. Got a lot of roots that are diseased. God wants to deal with it. It means that sometimes Word of God will bring you comfort. Sometimes Word of God will make you very uncomfortable. But we must love the Word. We must face the truth. We must examine our life in the Word of God so that we can walk in truth and walk in glory. Amen? So, John is proclaiming, I'm just the voice. Everybody has to do their part. I'm just the voice. But you must make sure there are no potholes in your heart. Sins, resistance to the Word of God, doubts, fear, rebellion, my own will, my own choice, pride, unrepented, sinful habits. We must bring it before God, and we must build a highway. Because God wants to come into you. King wants to touch your life, change your life once for all. Jesus Christ is same yesterday, today, and forever. Jesus changed my life when I was a boy, and He's here to change anyone, make you new, complete new. Hallelujah. Power of God is limitless, and we must prepare our hearts. So Isaiah 40 speaks this: I am only the voice, but everybody, get your heart right. Make your heart straight. What is he talking about? He's talking about the highway. Let there be a highway, because there's so much block between your head and your heart. Unbelieving, evil heart. And God is saying, make your way straight by repentance. Acknowledge before God. You know what that is? That is a highway of holiness. If you can build a highway, if you can cleanse and prepare your heart, between your head, your heart, change your thinking, make your thinking, your heart, attitude straight before God, glory of God will come. That's what Isaiah is talking about. And in fact, in that voice, he talks about, surely life is grass and the flower in the field. Life falls, flower fades, grass fails. But he who does the will of God abides forever. Do you want to live forever? It doesn't matter what kind of life we live, we'll all fade quickly. We gotta face the fact that this life is not going to last forever. And before this life comes to an end, we must make a very clear choice. I want to deal with my past. I cannot go on like this anymore. I want to prepare for the next. Amen. Our life is short, but I want the glory of God, what God has for me. God has a glorious future for us. And God says, prepare your heart. Because I'm going to come and visit you. I'm going to change you. I'm going to make where there is a desert, a highway. I'm going to bring a water, sweet water of life. In fact, Isaiah 35 talks about this highway of holiness. Highway of holiness. Mia had a dream a number of years ago. How many years ago, Mia? You remember your dream? In the dream, she was in a dream, she saw a raised highway that somehow it's big highway. And it's higher than everybody, everywhere else. There was no valley, there's no turn, straight and clean. Somehow it is so big, but so few people have ever found it. And there was a man of God who came out to help us navigate at the time. And he said, I'll help you with lessons. And then when she stood up there, there was nothing unclean. Beautiful highway. It's a highway of holiness. Let's turn to Isaiah 35. You have the Bible there. See, verse 8. Isaiah 35, verse 8. It says, a highway shall be there, and a road, and it shall be called the highway of holiness. The unclean shall not pass over it, but it shall be for others. Whoever walks on the road, although a fool or immature young believer, shall not go astray. No lion will be there, nor shall any ravenous beast go up on it. It shall not be found there, but the redeemed shall walk there, and the ransomed of the Lord shall return. And come to Zion with singing, with everlasting joy. on their heads. They shall obtain joy and gladness, and sorrow and sighing shall flee away. Hallelujah. How many want to be on the highway? Amen. There will be no sorrow, no sighing, no lion, no lepers, no demons can stand there. Even though you may be immature, you will not go astray because you are on God's highway. Hallelujah. So we need to build this highway. This is called repentance. Repentance. Repentance is something we do for life. It doesn't end. Faith and justification does not nullify need for repentance. Because repentance makes way for true faith. And the faith opens the way for deeper repentance, for more intimate relationship with Jesus. Because repentance is how we change into likeness of Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. Mm. Amen. Mm. So, what was John's message again? Now, John gave practical tips. Different people came to ask John, so what do you want me to do? I do repent. I do repent. I do acknowledge I've sinned. I do not want to go on like this anymore. I want the king to visit me. I want new life. What do I do? Give me what to do. Tell me what to do. Well, John wanted to baptize people in water, but he said that before I baptize you, I want to see the fruit of your repentance. And John is a very practical person. He gave them practical tips. He said three things, two of which cannot help you, but one thing. That's what you need. Two things. Well, one of the two is that your race doesn't matter. Where you come from, if you call yourself Abraham's sons, it doesn't matter. If you are born to a Christian believing family, it doesn't matter. If you're a son or daughter of a pastor, preacher, high reverend, right reverend, other you know, members, royal family, it doesn't matter. God can raise up his children from a stone. It doesn't matter. Your race doesn't matter. Your background doesn't matter. Your religion doesn't matter. You can go through ceremony, all kinds of stuff. God doesn't care about those external things. God looks at the heart. And what God cares about is righteousness. That's what he wants. Righteousness. So he's saying that, see, righteousness is what God is looking for. So you bear the fruit of righteousness. Fruit of righteousness. Hallelujah. Because all the wrong trees bearing wrong fruit is about to be chopped off. But praise God. See, when you come, bearing fruit of righteousness is not asking you to be perfect before you come to Jesus. I want to make that very, very clear. It doesn't mean you must be perfect. You will never be perfect before you come to Christ. Bearing fruit of righteousness is your decision. An action of your decision. And there is a fruit of your heart turning toward God in humility. That's what it is, fruit of repentance. It's not perfection, but it's a token. It's an evidence of your heart changing towards God. And he said this, some people came, rich people came. What do I do? What do I do? What is the fruit of repentance? He said, if you got two shirts, give someone who doesn't have any. I've got a wardrobe. What would he say when he looks at our wardrobe, our fridge, all kinds of things? Tax collectors came and he said, what do I do? He says, take no more than what is right. Because tax collectors had right to win the right to collect tax from you, but put margin, extra margin, to milk you. So John says, no, don't leave the job, but take only what is right. Don't take any more. Don't do extortion. Don't cheat. Fruit of righteousness. If you are doing the wrong thing, don't do it anymore. That is an evidence of your heart change. And he said also, soldiers came. And he said, don't bully people. Don't try to use your power, your authority to bully people, to collect money. See, simple term, stop being so selfish. Be righteous. Stop being selfish. Because if you want to bury yourself and start a new life, see, you gotta stop being selfish. and stop being unrighteous. So you come with that one decision, and I'll baptize you. So people came, baptized. And then the effect of message prepared the hearts of Israel. People began to talk, is this the one? He who is saying the king is coming, maybe this is the king. Because I'm changing for the first time. I see for the first time. I can see the peace after repentance. See, David said, until I said, I have no sin, I don't need to repent. My heart was burning inside. Eating himself up because you are lying against the truth. But he says, once I acknowledged my sin, the Holy Spirit came. And he enjoyed peace and joy of freedom. And the people are saying, I'm enjoying the freedom and the peace with God that I have never had before in my life. It was the repentance that opened the way and the door to be real and to be true and begin a relationship with God that is real. And they begin to say, is he the one? Maybe he's the one. He's the greatest. He is the Messiah. And John said, it's John's humility, John's modesty. Says, no, I wouldn't even untie the shoelace of the king. That's Jesus. I wouldn't even touch his shoes. See, the bottom slave, the second bottom slave, will take off the shoes, but the bottom slave will wash the feet. John is saying that, you know what, I'm not even fit to become the second lowest bottom slave of the king. That's humility. Greatest man born of a woman. Up to the time of Jesus, I'm not even fit to be the second lowest slave of the king. And when Jesus came, what did he do? He washed his disciples' feet. So John was humble, but Jesus was more humble. Hallelujah! See, the fruit of repentance is humility. It's that you acknowledge your sin. The Bible says, if you say, I have not sinned, truth is not in you. You're lying. But if you acknowledge your sin, God is faithful and merciful. Not only does he forgive our sins, he cleanses all unrighteousness. And he gives us gift of righteousness. Hallelujah. And pours out his life. Oh, Jesus, how wonderful is God. Hallelujah. So now, John's last days. Tell you what, the more you prepare your heart, greater fire you will receive. Absolutely true. See, because the ministry of Jesus, the gospel doesn't begin with Jesus preaching. Gospel begins with John the Baptist. Repentance is the beginning of the gospel. Mark chapter 1, verse 1, it says, the beginning of the gospel of the Son of God talks about the voice of one crying in the wilderness. So are you hearing the voice of God? Crying out from the wilderness, ignored part of your heart. Suddenly a voice is saying, you know what, it's end of 2019. You don't want to keep going the way you were going before. The evidence of insanity is you keep doing the same thing and expect different result. You want different result? We need a decision to turn and deal with things in the past so that God's glory can be with us. Hallelujah. Now the last message of John, verse 18 and 20, 18 to 20, see, people begin to come to John. And the crowd just swelled in a short time. See, you can't expect to be the voice of God and then not offend somebody very soon. Especially when you are speaking truth fearlessly about the people in power. So John was baptized in Jordan. And perhaps the worst son of Herod the Great, Herod Antipas, was living up in a large castle up on a hill. It's called Machaerus. And it's a castle of gallows. That's the meaning of Machaerus. On the east side of the Dead Sea, looking down to Jordan Valley. And then people are talking about John. All Israel is talking about John's message. And then Herod, Antipas, you know, people are talking, oh, I'm hearing this message. Message about you, that John is a tremendous prophet, is preaching with such power. But he's talking about you, okay? What did he say? He said that you are living in sin. He said you took your sister's, your half-brother's wife. That's incest. That's not right. He needs to repent. Change his way. And Herod didn't like it too much. So he got his boys, some thugs, some of his boys, to get John and woke him up. And that's the castle there, up on the hill. And you see the, like a fortress there with remains of it. And you're overlooking the Jordan Valley and the Dead Sea from the high up in a castle. You lock him up there, John, man of witness, voice of God from heaven, locked up in a hum or in a dry dungeon, looking down the wounds, very, very cruel. And finally, at the whim of a dancing girl, John's head was brought to Herod on a platter. Herod must answer God about John's blood. But short time after John's ministry, ranging anywhere between 6 months up to, stretching, not really, up to 3 years, but less, the greatest voice that was ever raised up among mankind, his mouth was shut, his eyes closed. But the work of God was done. John finished his work. Jesus said, you guys, you were willing to rejoice in the light. John was a light among you. He was a bright, burning lamp. You rejoice to be in his lamp. So was John's life. In fact, all the first of the 12 disciples were John's disciples. They became Jesus' disciples. In fact, he prepared the way. And then we see the next verses. Next week, we see Jesus coming on the scene and being baptized. And now he begins his ministry. Ministry of power, fire. But it's a ministry of mercy. Because why? Because we prepare our hearts. See, the Bible says, if you judge yourself, God doesn't have to judge you. The worst thing is for Christians to not judge themselves. So that God has to take that place that he doesn't want to do. Says, but if we, why do we judge ourselves so that we do not get condemned along with the world? Why? Because we want more of God. So let me tell you once again, repentance is not, it doesn't eliminate faith. Faith doesn't eliminate repentance. They are both vitally needed. Repentance will give you pure faith. Faith will open door for true repentance, not condemnation. There's no room for condemnation. But renewal, repentance, more power, more fire. What does fire do? It burns up the dross. And it purifies the whole. It purifies faith in you. Amen. Let's pray. We love Jesus. Are you also prepared to have John's ministry? So that you can have more Jesus. As I was worshiping God here, I just felt again and again such mercy of God. God is faithful. He will deliver you from all your troubles. God will be all you need. God will give you the peace and joy you've never known. But you can make more room for God. immovable by turning away from our sin. Repentance. I pray, Lord, pray that God will give you anointing for repentance. An anointing to believe in greater measure of His glory, His Spirit. I pray that this season, none of us will go unchanged. We will go change, we will change, move from glory to glory. Hallelujah. Why don't we stand? Why don't we pray? Short break. Thank you, Lord. Everlasting God. Do you believe in God's mercy? Can we say, I believe in God's mercy?
I believe in God's mercy.
Part of the mercy is ability to repent. Hallelujah. I pray, God, prepare our hearts to receive more of you in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Father, why don't we lift our hands? So, Lord, Father, we come to you.
Father, we come to you.
Yes, let's say after me. Father, we come to you.
Father, we come to you.
Believing in your mercy.
Believing in your mercy.
I believe you are serious with me.
I believe you're serious with me.
I believe your glory wants to invade my life.
I believe your glory wants to invade my life.
Holy Spirit, come.
Holy Spirit, come.
Show me.
Show me in my heart.
Potholes.
Potholes.
Doubts.
Doubts.
Unbelief.
Unbelief.
Selfish heart.
Selfish heart.
Fear.
Fear.
And Holy Spirit.
And Holy Spirit.
Help me to turn.
Help me to turn.
To make straight.
To make straight.
The way of the Lord.
Way of the Lord.
Build in my heart highway of holiness.
Build in my heart highway of holiness.
That your glory may come in.
That your glory may come in.
Jesus, I love you.
Jesus, I love you.
I want you.
I want you.
You will change my life.
You will change my life.
Every broken relationships.
Every broken relationships.
You'll fix it.
You'll fix it.
Every lack, you'll fill it.
Every lack, you will fill it.
Fill me with your glory.
Fill me with your glory.
In Jesus' name.
In Jesus' name.
Amen.
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 Amen. Amen. Amen. Amen. Amen. I'm going to open up this floor. I want to pray for maybe just a few people. If you want to respond to God, we still are kind of 5 minutes.